Now, a few years back, when my daughters were in swim lessons, sometimes after their swim lessons, I would take them to a specific McDonald's here in Peoria for a sweet treat after the swim lesson. And there was one location that just left me shaking my head. So the first time we went, I ordered two small fries. And, you know, you wouldn't think that two small fries is like rocket science, but man, they absolutely butchered the order. And I was like, okay, you know, I get this, a lot of things going on behind the counter. I can have grace for an order that's a little bit messed up. But what really kind of was just, what took me back is when I went and asked about, you know, say, hey, like this isn't what I ordered. I was treated like an inconvenience. Like, you ever had this happen? They're like, what do you want? And I'm like, well, you know, what I really want is just my order to be right. I really kind of want a better attitude as well, but you know, this is what I'd like. And so they fixed it, and it was like harder than it had to be. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever, maybe I had a bad day. So we left. Next week, swim lesson, I go back to the same location. This time, I say, can I have two hot fudge sundaes? So I ordered two hot fudge sundaes in the drive-thru, and this time it took a really long time, and there was like barely anyone there. So I'm like, what, you know, what's going on here? And we wait, and then finally one of the workers comes out, and they say, hey, we just wanted to apologize for the wait. And I was like, oh, I appreciate that. He said, so we gave you extra ice cream. And I was like, wow, that's a nice gesture. And he hands me this hot fudge sundae, and the way he gave us extra ice cream is he took the sundae cup, put a lid on it, and this little hole in the top of it that was too small to get a spoon through, but big enough to get a bead of ice cream and several pumps of hot fudge sundae. And it's filled to the top with a little puff of ice cream coming out of it. So you understand, what he just handed me was the equivalent of a rigged bomb. I was like, because the only way to eat it is to open it. And if I open it, there's hot fudge and ice cream going everywhere. And so I just said, well, I mean, I really appreciate that, but how am I supposed to eat this? And he's kind of looked at it, and he's like, yeah, I see that. Do you want me to get you some napkins? I was like, I just kind of, in my head, I'm just like, my goodness. I said, you know what, man, don't worry about it. I appreciate it. We'll take care of it. And so, you know, I drove off, and as I'm driving off, I'm just like, what is with this location? And as I'm driving, I had the thought, you know what? I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to leave a bad review. Well, as I'm driving, I decided, okay, you know, it's not always great. Probably not the best, you know, optics for a pastor in Peoria to be writing scathing reviews about restaurants in our area. So I decided to let that go. But I share that this morning to say, I'm willing to bet we've all probably had a bad experience, whether it be with a restaurant, an airline, an internet company. We've all probably had our share of those type of experiences. And when that happens, what do? We either leave a bad review or we just don't go back. But here's my question. What happens when the bad experience you have isn't just with a business, but it's with a church? And what happens when it's not just a messy hot fudge sundae, but it's pain and hurt that threatens to shake your faith? You know, today as we continue in our series Hot Button, we're going to talk about what has become a buzzword over the last several years. And that's the term church hurt. Now, in all transparency, I just being honest with you, I feel like I'm walking into a minefield in this message. And it occurred to me this week that in doing a message on church hurt, you could actually create more church hurt for people if not handled correctly. Because when people are in deep pain, how we respond to them, the way we respond to them, can either intensify their pain or it can decrease their pain. And if you don't believe me, just go look at the book of Job. Look at how his friends helped him out, right? They increased his pain. And so for those of you listening today who have been truly wounded by people in the church, you've experienced deep pain and hurt, I just want to say, my heart grieves with you. I've heard some of your stories, and it saddens me, and it angers me to hear what has happened. And so this week, I've just been asking, find myself each day asking that the God of comfort during this time today would meet you in your pain and bring healing to the deepest places of your heart. And so before we go any further, I want to just take a moment and let's just pray together. Will you join me? So Lord, I pray right now that as we talk about a very sensitive subject and we talk about hurt and pain, Lord, I pray first and foremost that Holy Spirit, that you would go and that you would take the word today and it would be like healing balm for people's hearts. And Lord, I know that as a preacher that I am imperfect. And so Lord, I pray that where there are places where maybe my words fall short today, Lord, I just pray that you would make up the difference. I pray you'd fill in the gaps. And I pray that you would direct your word to the exact place of need in each and every person's heart. And that we would experience you as the God of all comfort. And so we ask this in your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the term church hurt, it's a relatively new term. And then it's a phrase that kind of exploded on social media within the last 10 years. But the concept is not new. Because since the inception of the church, it's been a thing. Why? Because the church is filled with humans. And as long as there are humans, there will be imperfection. So let's just take this church, Northwoods, for example. This church will never be perfect. Why? Because I'm here. And because you're here. None of us are perfect. And so there's a sense in which, you know, the church will never be perfect because it involves people. You know, it's like the old saying, if you find a perfect church, don't go there because you'll mess it up. So churches are imperfect because people are imperfect. And so there's a sense in which there will always be potential for hurt in churches. So even while church hurt as a term is a newer term, as a concept, it's not. It goes all the way back to Bible times. So this morning, we're gonna go back in our Bible to a situation that involved church hurt, and we're gonna discover how to respond when we get hurt. Now, before we jump into this passage, I do want to start by giving credit to another pastor named Aaron Burke. He put together some great content on church hurt. And so today I'm kind of jumping off of some of the structure that he laid out. I've built it out in places and added to it and used my own stories and illustrations. But I want to make sure I give him credit up front for the inspiration. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is a letter, the second of two letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to his young protege, Timothy, who was also a pastor. And in closing this letter, he talks about some of the hurt that he had experienced in the ministry, in the church. Now, the Apostle Paul was a leader in the church. So this is an example of a leader being hurt. Now, I'm well aware that the hurt goes the other way and can often run much deeper when it's a leader who hurts a congregant because there's a power dynamic at play. So even though this example might be a little different than what some have experienced, the reality is how he responds is informative for anyone dealing with church hurt. Okay, and his story gives us six practices that can help us move from hurt to healed. Now, I know what you're thinking. Six practices? Normally, you're kind of a three-point type of guy, John. Are we going double the time today? No, we're not going double the time. I'll try to keep us on point here. But I call these six practices, I use the word practices intentionally. And I want to communicate that moving from hurt to healed isn't a linear path where it's like, you know, we could use the word steps, but it's not like these just sequential steps where you take this step, then this step, then this step, and then there, boom, you're healed. Nor is it just check each one of these things off and be done with them. No, you might have to return to them and repeat them. Because, you know, for many, many years in my life, I had a very oversimplified view of pain and hurt. And here's what I thought it looked like for many years of my life. Like, if you're going to move from hurt to healed, this is what it looks like. It's just this straight linear path. You just do this, 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 and you're there. That's a very oversimplified view of pain and hurt. Here's what it really looks like, what I've found just through talking with people and in my own life, that the path from hurt to healed is you might be all over the place at times. And so this is why I say it's not always just do this, 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 and you're done, or check these boxes and you're done. When I say practices, it's saying there are some things that you might have to go back to. There are some things that you're going to have to repeat on your journey from hurt to healed. Okay, so let's jump in and we'll start at verse 9. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 9. He says this, he's writing to Timothy. He says, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me." How'd you like to be Demas? Like, for all time, you're laid out in scripture as the guy who abandoned the Apostle Paul. He says, "Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. And Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Now, there are a few people mentioned here, but let's focus on Demas for a moment. Okay, here's what we know about Demas. Demas was at one time one of Paul's close associates and partners in the ministry. I mean, Paul mentions him in his letter to the Colossians. And here he says, "Timothy, I need you to come to me because Demas, you know, my partner in ministry, the guy who's been by my side, has fallen in love with this world and has deserted me." And the word choice there he used when he says deserted me tells us that Paul got left in the lurch by Demas. Like, he felt abandoned by Demas in his moment of need. So Paul was hurt. But what we see Paul doing here is instructive for how we respond to church hurt. And here's practice number one. You have to acknowledge and name the hurt. Have to acknowledge and name the hurt. Understand, we'll never get healthy if we can't get honest. You will never get hurt healthy if you can't get honest. You know, it reminds me of the iconic meme from several years ago called "This Is Fine." Have you seen this? It's of a dog sitting in a house that's burning down with a smile on his face, drinking coffee, and says, "This is fine." Right? It struck a chord with people because it's a complete denial of reality. And how often do we do the same thing? We say, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm not hurt. I'm good." You know, if we truly want to experience healing, we have to start by acknowledging the hurt and the pain. And then we have to name it. I mean, like, think about if you went to a doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm hurt." What's his next question going to be? He can say, "Well, what's hurting? Where does it hurt?" Why is he asking that? Because until you kind of put a name to it, we can't determine what the next step should be. This is why we have to acknowledge and name. This is what Paul did. He acknowledged he was hurt and he named it. He said, "I was deserted." In other words, I feel abandoned. So acknowledge and name the pain. It might sound like this. You know, it hurt when I was told the only reason I haven't been healed of my cancer is because I lack true faith. That hurts. A church leader in a position of authority that I trusted pressured me into a sexual encounter. You know, it was painful when I revealed my struggle with addiction, hoping to find help, only for the person to broadcast it publicly. It's painful. I was called evil because I disagreed with the pastor on a finer theological point. And there's probably many other scenarios, but we have to acknowledge and name it. And if you've been hurt and have never acknowledged the pain and named the hurt, then this week I want to encourage you to sit down with a pen and a paper and just start by acknowledging your pain to God and ask the Holy Spirit, just as you begin to write, to help you identify, why do I feel hurt? And write it out. And in the process, you're beginning to put a name to it. Now, One point of clarification here. And this is primarily, in this moment, I'm speaking primarily to people in my generation and below. One thing I think that we have gotten right is that it's okay to talk about our feelings. You know, when I talk with my dad's generation and even above, they would say, you know, this is an area where we did, you know, feelings, what are those? We didn't ever even talk about those. And so I think we've got that right. But one place where we've gotten it wrong is that we have made feelings everything. And I see sometimes it's gone so far that now we just talk about our feelings, not to process and move forward, but simply to rehearse and stay put and just rally others around us who feel the same way. And as a result, we just get more bitter and we don't get better. So I want to just clarify, for clarity's sake, I'm not saying acknowledge and name your hurt just so you can sit in it and stew on it and throw mud at people in church. Nope, I'm saying acknowledge and name it, not so you can just stew on it, but so you can begin the process of surrendering it to the Lord and begin to move forward on the journey to healing. So we have to acknowledge and name. Okay, here's practice number two. And this is crucial. Distinguish between hurt and discomfort. Distinguish between hurt and discomfort. Because as we start acknowledging and naming the hurt, I think we need to sort through it and ask ourselves, is what we're feeling, is this genuine hurt or is this normal discomfort? There's a difference between the two. Let's go back to the Apostle Paul. He says in verses, if we skip ahead to verse 14, he says, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Now, we aren't sure who Alexander, the metal worker, is. Some scholars believe that if you go back and read in 1 Timothy, there's an Alexander mentioned there that Paul excommunicated from the church. Now, we can't be certain this is the same Alexander, but if it is, this isn't just an outside unbeliever. This is someone who was once connected to one of the churches that Paul ministered in. But I want you to notice what he says about Alexander. He says, Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. Key word here, harm. I think the word harm is instructive in relation to church hurt. Church hurt occurs when someone experiences harm within the context of the church. And this can happen many ways. It's situations like spiritual authority is being misused to control or manipulate. Scripture is twisted to justify wrongdoing. Legitimate concerns are dismissed to cover up or protect a leader's reputation. Or sin is confronted in someone in an ungodly and highly judgmental way. Like those are just a few of the actions that can inflict deep pain and hurt. And in many situations, let's just be honest, these actions have been underreported and minimized. And those who have been truly hurt have at times been silenced. That should grieve our heart. It grieves my heart. And if that's happened to you, I want you to know I am so sorry. But that said, I do want to take a moment to bring more clarity around what constitutes church hurt. Because today, this phrase has grown to include anything that happens in church that elicits a negative, strong emotion in someone. For example, several years back when I was serving in ministry in a different town, we had a guy on the music team who was a very talented musician. Like he could play the bass guitar like nobody's business. And he always wanted to play songs with a thumping bass line, okay? Stuff like I'm Trading My Sorrows. Anybody remember I'm Trading My Sorrows? Dun, 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 dun. Like it had a bass line in it. He loved it. And so he always wanted to play these type of songs. And he became very vocal about it. But when the worship pastor didn't acquiesce to his every request, he got hurt and said, I'm done. Here's my question. Should we categorize that as church hurt? I don't believe so. That sounds like more like there was some discomfort because he didn't get his way. He had an expectation that because he was a really skilled bassist, the church should just do whatever he wants. And today, I see this, you see this often, many will walk around referring to situations similar to this and say, the church hurt me. And so I just want to bring clarity and just gently push back on the notion that anything that makes us feel uncomfortable is church hurt. See, discomfort can occur in churches in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it can happen from loving correction. So where there's sin or inconsistency pointed out. Listen, if it's done in a biblical way, privately, gently, with the goal of restoration, that's not abuse. That's accountability. So we need to ask, am I a part of a church to be comfortable or changed? I hope we're all here to be changed and formed into more and more Christ-like people. So sometimes there can be discomfort that comes out of loving correction. Sometimes it can come out of disagreement. Disagreement in the church, I mean, let's talk about disagreement, is inevitable and natural. There's a lot at stake in ministry, and I know we all care deeply about fulfilling the Great Commission. So we can disagree about decisions. We can disagree about people. We can disagree about ministry, strategy, what football team we root for. Come on, we got disagreements about that sometimes. But does the fact that I didn't get my way, or things move too slow, or things move too fast, does that equate to somebody damaged you or somebody damaged me? No, that's simply a part of being in community with others. So we can feel discomfort because of loving correction, because of disagreement, also because of misunderstandings. Like sometimes we can misunderstand other people's intentions or words. I've had times where people have come to me, and I really appreciate when people do this and say, hey, when you said that, I heard this. And it kind of stung. Like I've been sitting with it and it's been hurtful. And so I just wanted to come to you and say, like, did you mean to say that? Did you recognize it came across this way? And in those times, I can say, you know what? I've been so grateful for those conversations, because sometimes I walk away and go, man, I didn't realize that in saying that, someone could take it this way. So I appreciate you pointing that out. Or other times I've said, man, no, that's not what I meant at all. What I was really trying to say was this. And because there's a misunderstanding, what happens when people come and we have a conversation is we both grow, and we grow closer to one another in the process. And that's often what happens when we do the uncomfortable thing and go to the person. Instead of doing the easy thing and just saying, well, I'm hurt, peace out. And I hope you can hear my heart on this. I want to clarify this because hurt needs healing. But discomfort is actually what God uses to grow and mature us. And if every time we feel some level of discomfort, we say, well, the church hurt me and leave, we're actually walking out on the very thing that God might want to use in our lives to grow and mature us. I'm saying this because I love you. I have seen this so often where people will bounce from church to church to church to church. They'll stay just as long as they're comfortable. And then if something happens that makes them a little bit uncomfortable, or they have a disagreement or a misunderstanding, boom, they're out. They go to a different church. And my heart grieves because they go from church to church to church, but they never grow or mature in the way that God intended. This is why I think we have to distinguish between hurt and discomfort. Now, if you're listening today and you know what, you're confused about whether what you experienced was hurt, that's okay. This is where it's important that we have other mature believers outside the situation who can help us process what we're feeling. And if you're uncertain, don't dismiss it. Do seek wisdom from others who can help you see clearly. Like we have a prayer team down front at the end of every service. I'd encourage you to come forward. Let someone pray with you and process with you. Okay, here's practice number three. I'm going to keep moving. Practice number three, you have to choose to forgive. If you truly want to heal, from our hurt. Forgiveness must be a part of the journey. We talk about the importance of forgiveness regularly around here. Look back at what Paul said. If we go to verse 16, he said, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." Ouch. No one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. That hurts. But look at what he says next. "May it not be held against them." Wow. That's a powerful statement, and that's a statement born out of choosing to forgive. And so if we want to move from hurt to healed, at some point we're going to have to choose to forgive. Forgiveness, I want you to understand, is like the conduit through which the flow of God's healing grace comes to our lives. So think of it this way. When we walk in unforgiveness is kind of like putting a kink in a hose. If you've ever put a kink in a hose, what happens is it blocks the flow of water. And unforgiveness do the same thing. It blocks the flow of all the Holy Spirit wants to release in our lives. Unforgiveness keeps us locked up, unable to experience the flow of God's healing grace. And what I want to say about forgiveness, if you go back to that, you know, that picture where it's like the path from hurt to healed. Forgiveness generally happens, I have found, especially when there's been deep hurt, it happens in stages. It's just been my experience that when I'm deeply hurt, I can forgive, but then later on I might realize, oh man, there's still a little bit more there. And then there's more I may need to forgive. And so a great starting place, and this is something you could do this week, is simply to say, "Lord, I choose to forgive." You put the person's name in and then just say four. And you might start writing them out. You might just start listing all the hurts. "I choose to forgive this person for this, for this, for this, for this." And again, let me be clear. When you forgive, it's not you saying there is no longer any need for accountability for those who have done the wrong, especially if a crime has been committed. There should be accountability for their actions. All I'm saying is that along with that, there will need to be forgiveness on our part if we're going to move from hurt to healed. This is part of the journey. Okay, here's practice number four. Another thing to keep in mind, another thing to practice, don't confuse God's people with God. Don't confuse God's people with God. So just like we need to separate hurt and discomfort, we need to learn to separate God's people from God. So think about it this way. I've heard it described this way. Let's just imagine for a moment, after the service today, you head to the gym, the basketball court, to play some basketball. You're going to play pickup. You get there, and some guy walks in, and he's got a brand new pair of Jordans on. And he's decked out in Jordan brand everything. He's got the Jordan shoes. He's got Jordan socks, shorts, shirt, maybe a wristband on. You're like, wow, this dude, man, this is Jordan everything. And then he gets out in the court, and he can't even make a layup. Like, his jumper's just broke. I mean, he's dribbling it off his feet. Here's my question. If you saw that, would you reject Michael Jordan because some guy wearing his name played bad? I hope not. And I use this to say that when people hurt us, especially those who we felt were supposed to represent God to us, it can feel like God himself failed us. And if we're not careful, we can reject God. But we have to remember that no human, no matter the title they go by, deacon, elder, bishop, prophet, global senior pastor, whatever it might be, no one can perfectly represent God. We have to separate God's people and God. Look at how Paul does this in verse 16. He says, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them." So we read that. And then he says, "So I'm done with God and the church." Well, hold up. Wait a minute. It's not what he said. He uses the word, he says, "but," which is a word of contrast, which means he's going to now contrast God's people with God. He says, he's separating the two. He says, "But the Lord stood at my side." Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side. and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." He's separating the two. You see what he's doing? This is huge in responding properly to church hurt, because let's recognize when we are hurt, the emotions we feel and experience can make it hard to see the difference between people and God. And I'll just tell you, like, my heart hurts because there are many today, and you see this, who have legitimately been hurt by the church and have now chosen to deconstruct and leave their faith because they confused God's people with God. You have to remember, hey, people are imperfect. But Psalm 18 says, as for God, his way is perfect. People will abandon you in your darkest hour. But God promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. People can change. One day be this, next day be this. But God never changes. He's always good, always faithful, always trustworthy. So when we get hurt, even when the emotions run high, there's a sense in which we need to step back and ask God to help us untangle the pain we've experienced with people from our view of him. So we have to separate. Don't confuse God's people with God. Here's practice number 5. Focus on what God's done for you. Focus on what God's done for you. And here I'm not saying deny what happened. We've already said we need to acknowledge and name, but I've heard this quote the other day and it so resonated with me. Went like this: don't let what others did to you cause you to lose sight of what God's done for you. Don't let what others did to you cause you to lose sight of what God's done for you. This is the essence of what Paul says next. After talking about how God stood with him and strengthened him, he goes on to say, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. And the Lord's gonna rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see what he's doing? He's not denying that he was hurt. He's just refusing to lose sight of what God has done and is doing. So here's the question: when is the last time you have reflected on what God has done for you? Man, I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I spend an inordinate amount of time focusing on what people have done to me and all my problems and all my pain, instead of focusing on what God has done for me. How he saved me when I was dead in my sin. How he strengthened me when I was at my weakest. How he comforted me when I was at my lowest. How he provided for me when I was in need. How he's blessed me when I didn't deserve it. How he's healed me when I was broken. Like, at some point, we need to start counting our blessings instead of just counting up our hurts. And as we focus, yeah, come on, if you're gonna clap, you gotta go all in. And as we focus on what God has done for us, and I promise you, there'll be a perspective shift that starts to take place in your heart and your mind. So focus on what God's done for you. And then here's the last practice. I'm trying to keep us on time. Practice number 6. Don't give up on the church because of a few people in a church. Don't give up on the church because of a few people in a church. You know, in the same way people get hurt by others and walk away from their faith, we can get hurt by someone in a church and just walk away from the church as a whole. I was just talking with someone a few days ago who shared about a couple they know who has not set foot in a church for 25 years. You wanna know why? Because 25 years ago, a pastor at their church hurt them. Now, again, my heart grieves that they were hurt in the church. But my heart also grieves that for 25 years, they have missed what God wanted to do in their life through the church. Look at how Paul closes this section. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. So these are two of his fellow workers in the ministry. And the household of Onesiphorus. I think I might have just given him a nickname, like Ani or something. Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so does Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. In other words, Paul's saying, hey, yeah, there's some people who have hurt me. But you see what he's saying? I haven't given up on the church. I haven't given up on my brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, Demas, he deserted me. But you know what? Priscilla, Aquila, Oni, or Onesiphorus. How did I say that? Onesiphorus. I'm done with that one. Okay. Erastus. Eubulus is still here. Pudens, Linus, Claudia, all the brothers and sisters are still here. He didn't walk out on them. So here's what's been helpful to me. And I want to encourage you to do this. If you've been hurt, you don't have to do it now, but at some point, maybe this week, I want you to take out a piece of paper and list the people in the church who hurt you. Just write them out. And when you're done, I want you to look at how many names you have. 1, 3, 5, maybe 10. Maybe some might have a few more. But how many names there are, I want you to then compare that to like how many people are in that church. And just ask yourself the question, I've had to do this time, are we gonna let a handful of people that hurt us cause us to give up on all of God's people? That's crazy. Don't do that. That's like giving up on all restaurants because one restaurant made you sick. You know, Paul shows us that while people can hurt us, here's what I don't want you to miss. He lists people who have hurt him here. But he also shows us, he says, hey, I need you to come to me. I want you to be with me. What he's saying is people can hurt us, but it's also people that God uses to help us. So if you walk out on all people in the church because some hurt you, you're actually walking out on the very people that God might want to use to help you in your journey. Have we forgotten the church is still his plan A for advancing his mission in the world? Don't give up on the church. So in light of what we've seen in God's word today, I just want to close by saying, if you've been hurt by the church, don't let that hurt have the final word. With God's help, you can move from hurt to heal. And maybe today is the day where you, is maybe the first day where you acknowledge and name the pain. Maybe it's choosing to forgive. Maybe it's coming back to a community of believers who can help you walk towards healing. You know, I just got the sense this morning that maybe there's some who are watching online today, and the reason you're watching online is because you don't want to step foot in a church because you were hurt by a church. And I'm just praying today that God would speak to your heart. Don't give up on the church because a few people in a church hurt you. It's time to come back. This is what God wants to use to help you and bring comfort and healing to your life. And listen, if you're here today and you know what, you say, you know what, John, I'm good. I've never been hurt by the church. Praise God. But let me challenge you. Be the kind of person who helps create a grace-filled environment where people can heal. Like, if we're gonna be that church, it's gonna take all of us. Saying, you know what, I wanna be a part of helping people. So our prayer team is down front, ready to pray with anyone who needs it here in a moment. Don't leave here carrying what God wants to lift off of your shoulders. So I wanna ask you to stand, and I wanna pray with you as we close. So Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for how you speak to us through your word. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, for those that have been deeply hurt and wounded. I pray even right now, Lord, that you would go and you would touch the deepest places of their pain and hurt. And you would bring healing. You would start the process of healing. You know, Lord, I'm well aware that, you know, I can put 4,000 words on a piece of paper, but it's ultimately, it can be one word from you that changes things for your people. And so, Lord, I pray, whatever that word is today, I pray that you would speak a word of hope and healing and comfort, even in this moment, in a way that brings life and encouragement and hope and the ability to persevere and get back up, Lord. I ask for that today. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that is filled with grace, and that when hurting people walk in, that we're a part of the solution, and that the way we respond helps lead people towards your healing grace in their life. So I thank you for what you've done today, Lord. I pray your hand of blessing would rest on each of your people as we leave this place today. And it's in the mighty and matchless and all-powerful name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Come on, give him praise for what he's done today, church. Amen. Church, I love you. Thank you so much for being here today. Like I said, we'll have the prayer team down front. If you need prayer, please come down front. We'd love to pray with you. Have a great Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next week.